What's up, you guys? No, not stuck in traffic. Not stuck in traffic. I'm here. Actually, don't really have a good excuse this time. I was just getting everything set up and I was like, oh, those last few minutes passed by really quickly. Hope everybody's doing well. Thanks for joining us. 11 a.m. today on the show. If you accidentally downloaded this on Spotify thinking it was Sevan and you realize it's just me, you're welcome. You know who you are. You know who you are. What's up, guys? How's everybody doing? Got a dilemma here, something I want to discuss with you real quick. So a couple minutes before the show, I was finishing some stuff up and I was like, all right, I got some time to grab some coffee, try to get like highly caffeinated for this. I just woke up tired. My camera angle's kind of fucked up, huh? You guys think it's taller? I don't know if it looks good. It's like pointing too much down on me. It sounds like my mic is weird. You know what? It's probably not turned on. Thank you. Yeah. How's this? Better. I think it's better. Yeah. It was definitely coming through the computer. A minute late and not even got it together. Okay. So I was going to go to the coffee shop, this place here, Story Coffee, a Livermore local one in downtown, not too far of a walk from the house. And as I was leaving, Grace was here, and oftentimes we're not together at the same time because we're always passing each other and doing work and on off schedules. And I was like, oh, hey, I'm about to go grab a coffee. Did you want a coffee? So anyhow, in that time, she said yes or no. And then we started talking about a bunch of other stuff. And then I was like, shit, I got to go so I could be back in time for the show. And I left and I came back and I only had one coffee. Now, mind you, Grace doesn't drink like a ton of coffee, like really that much. So it wasn't like a big deal. But then she got pissed off because she's like, what? I waited here. I thought you were bringing back a coffee. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't know you wanted. Anyhow, that was the whole debacle prior to this, prior to the show, which really isn't a debacle at all. We don't advertise other coffee brands here. It's not a, you can't buy this online or anything. It does not compete with Paper Street Coffee at all. Just a local like hipster one that I stopped by the house. Don't you worry. Every morning, start off with a fresh cup of Paper Street Coffee. Did you guys see the show this morning with Jake Berman? Seemed like a really cool dude. We had him on like super briefly, like 2 years ago. I think when we had like Noah on, he was like driving Noah, and then we had a back and forth in the car with him. I'm sure you guys saw the show early this morning. Seemed like a good dude. Fresh can of Frost. Man, I wish I had the canned stuff is so good. Canned Frost. Okay. I want you guys to check this out. I saw this came in my algorithm. I know how you guys are with you people and your faith. I want to get your opinion on this. Now, of course, we've looked into zero fact checking on any of it, but here we go. We'll kick it off.
There's an eclipse that took place 7 years ago, went right across America. There's another eclipse coming right across America. It'll make a perfect cross on the center of the nation.
God made the first sign go through seven cities named Salem on August 21st, 2017.
The word Salem, according to the Bible, is peace. So God is saying seven times he offered peace. The next eclipse is coming. It goes through several cities here, particularly Nineveh. So first we have seven cities called Salem, and now seven cities called Nineveh. Seven and seven. Seven cities called Salem, seven cities called Nineveh, and 7 years apart. Right in the center of the cross is a city called Rapture. What is God's message? He's coming very, very soon.
Totally just popped up into my algorithm. What do you guys think? Jake Chapman, crock of shit. That's funny. Baked German. Yeah, no kidding. Barclay, I will get to your DM. I'll go through them today at some point, and I'll get back to you. Susie, you coming to Rogue? The one in Scotland? I hope so. If I'm there, you know that we got a nice Rogue sponsorship, and I got sent out there. But yeah. Corey Leonard, I love conspiracy theorists. It's the best, right? Like, who doesn't enjoy that shit? It's awesome. It's awesome. Jake Chapman has a tent for me. Yeah, I saw it. just a couple dudes in a tent. No big deal. No big deal. So once you, you guys will know this. Once you click on one thing in Instagram, they could just jack your whole algorithm up. You know what I mean? You just happen, the eyes wander for just a minute on Instagram, and next thing you know, your whole entire Explore feed.
I done ruined my algorithm. Every time I hit the Explore window, a little magnifying glass, it just be like 39 pictures of ass, and then like one little like art thing. I be trying to fix it. I be trying to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and only like the art ones. Then it started tricking me, and then it started showing me art of ass. Shit ain't right.
I thought that was hilarious. Savon made a post a couple like days back, week back, whatever. And he was like, somebody I was talking to told me that Instagram is microdosing me with porn. And I was like, man, that's such a great description of the Explore page if you're a dude. The other thing you have to realize is since Instagram has a lot of like the face reading and stuff capabilities, I heard that they'll track your eyes. So like you don't actually have to click on something and watch it in order for it to start populating more in your algorithm. If you just pause and like your eyes go there for, you know, whatever, a certain period of time, that the algorithm or the thing will note that, and then it'll show you more of that. Whatever, that's not verified on my end, so take it for what you will. But I know that if you're a guy and you put your shit inside there between like, you know, age 15 to 35 or whatever it is, you go right to that Explore page and it's nothing but chicks selling their OnlyFans on there. It's like, it's crazy. And I spent a good amount of time clicking on each one of them, clicking the not interested, this post makes me feel uncomfortable, not interested, like a while to get that all out of there. And it takes some time. And then slowly, when your time goes down on the app, they just start feeding it back into you. Feeding it back into you. Oh, great. I just logged in and do not approve of your previous message. Sorry, I can barely type this out without any caffeine. See what I mean? See what I mean, guys? See? She's... Knew that was going to be an issue. No, I'm not clicking 15-year-old... ads. I'm saying if you're a dude and you put in when you sign up for Instagram that your age is between that, then yeah, Instagram fucks your shit up. Mine is all football, weightlifting, and for some reason Hydrox. Yeah, good for you. Doubt it. You know what's in there. But yeah, even when you spend a lot of time like fishing all of it out, it'll creep its way back in. Which has you really thinking like what, like, you know, they'll censor all this other shit out of there, but yet they'll throw that in there all day long. No problem. Got an OnlyFans and page and you want to sell it on Instagram? Fuck. It'll hook you up. Okay, this was something else that popped up that I recently learned was like a trend or whatever of the most unusual people. This is apparently going down at like you at car dealerships. I don't know why I always say used car dealerships, but at a car dealership, this is Alabama Ford. Now there was a bunch of these that I saw, but this one here was pretty dang funny. This one took the cake. So here we go.
Come on down to Town and Country Ford. We'll have you rolling in deals.
Like they stitch it together with some sort of accident. Like that's the
come on down to Town and Country Ford. We'll have you rolling in deals.
Number one, I think it's hilarious. Number two, I think it's even more hilarious that it's people that are selling cars. But that's how you'd have to do it. You catch somebody's attention who it's unexpected, right? Jake Chapman, mine is all tooth powder, dwarves, and hogs. Clearly the algorithm of somebody who watches the show regularly. Not going to lie, it's from following some of the CrossFit ladies. See, Joey Clubbin, you know what the deal is. It'll lure you in. It always tries because it knows what you're really thinking about. No, it doesn't. I get booty, camera things, booty, CrossFit booty, and then regular CrossFit. Jonathan Ortega. Yep. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. And what Instagram feeds you. Okay. What do you guys want to do next? Heroes or crazy moms?
I just figured I would start with some random cool things on the internet, and then we'll get into the two topics of discussion that I have on here today, which is going to be CrossFit coaches. And I just put it up there as like a vague term because anything else made the title too long. But the question that I have for you guys listening to this, put it in the comment section, throw it in the chat, is do you think that it's feasible that a CrossFit coach could make a livable wage? And what we're going to call livable wage is, we'll say it's something out here in California around $75,000 a year. So do you think that that's possible? Not like, not in the sense of you're the affiliate owner, but you could just be employed as a full-time CrossFit coach, not L1 staff seminar or something like that. Just a full-time CrossFit coach that works at a CrossFit gym, maybe does some personal training, maybe does some other side programs and stuff like that. Like, do you think that that's feasible for a coach to make a livable wage of $75,000 a year or more? And if you do, do you think that that's possible at most gyms? That's going to be kind of something that we'll talk about with the CrossFit coaches. And then affiliate programming, this actually came from, I watched, it's like third generation. I watched Hiller's video with Matt Frazier and Brian Friend's podcast answering a question that actually Heidi came up with on that show. Then I only saw that portion of it, but I thought the question that Heidi asked was really good in terms of affiliate programming, actually. And I think a lot of not only people who write affiliate programming, like these camps like Proven and Mayhem and HWPO and stuff like that, but also any gym owners that program for themselves. So we'll touch base on that, and I'll kind of give my thoughts on affiliate programming and what I think about it. Okay, so anyhow, last one here. Two more. What do you guys want to do first? Crazy moms or heroes? Crazy moms or heroes? You're not really... Heidi, I was not aware I would be featured today. Not necessarily... I guess you are featured. Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'll give it to you. Corey Leonard wants to start with crazy moms. Okay. Fondle. Maybe hanging dong on OnlyFans. Maybe hanging dong. Okay. 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 Chrissy, I'm so glad you're talking about this, Matt. I've always wondered about the salaries of coaches. Yeah, we'll break into that a little bit here. Maybe the lack thereof. Justin Zimboa. Hopefully I didn't screw up your last name, dude. Owner of Salty Hive CrossFit. What's up, man? How you doing? You would need private/personal training. I think somebody else said that as well, too, as far as the coaches go. Tom Landry, Sousa, hello. What's up, man? How you doing? Welcome. Okay. Crazy hero moms. All right. That wasn't the option, but I like where you're going, Corey. Crazy moms. Okay. Well, we're going to start with crazy moms for the second to last thing, and then we'll end with heroes. Okay. So this chick kept popping up in my Explore page. And I got sucked into some of her content here. And I wanted to let you know what you guys think about it. You may have saw her. It's pretty, she's pretty popular on the interwebs. But what is this? Mom of 4 days school morning routine. Okay, so if there's any moms listening to this, I know Heidi is, maybe one or two more. Let's see what you guys think if this is something like feasible, if you could actually do this in your everyday life. What's her name? Her name is Brooke. Okay, this is Brooke, mom of four boys. Here she goes.
Mom to four boys. This is how we do a school day morning routine.
I'm up at 5 a.m. with the goal of getting out of the house by 8:50 a.m. My big boys homeschool, but we do an in-person homeschool group every Monday. Ryan is up always.
Two things. Number one, The Personal MBA by Josh Kaufman. Good book. Number two, how weird is it that these influencer types like turn on the lights, like get their camera all situated, then press record, then lay back in bed, and then get up and do the whole like stretch thing. So strange to me sometimes. Okay, carrying on. 5:15. Ryan's always up before I am. Ryan's her husband.
Days before I am, I blame him for my 5 a.m. morning habit. I get my workout clothes on, prep my sourdough, and Ryan helps start the luncheon.
Sourdough. She's prepping sourdough.
I print out our weekly activity and meal plan that allows me to approach the week with a clear sense of direction. Ryan,
she tapes that shit up in the kitchen. prints it out for the week, boy, and tapes it up in the kitchen.
And heads off to work. I start my workout, but first, sourdough goes into the oven. Somehow, this sourdough baking habit has made its way into my routine. I run 2.5 miles, the lid comes off the sourdough, then 14 minutes of weights and high intensity on the floor. I line up the backpacks for school and start with the lunches. Usually, Ryan helps with this, but sometimes it's fun to try and do it on my own. It's like a healthy mental challenge of figuring out what everyone wants in life. Sourdough is ready, water bottles filled, and the backpacks go straight into the trunk of the car, including my wagon, to carry it all. Just after 7, I make a quick protein smoothie and set out some fruit. It's easier to start breakfast before the boys come down. That way, if I'm busy, they're taken care of. Wade is up, happy in his crib. I get him ready to go. The big boys make their beds and tidy their rooms. I take a cold shower and get ready. Always a mess that makes me feel better tackling the day. And I make the beds of those who didn't. Sourdough is done. It's become slow bread for our business.
I make the bed of those who didn't. Was that a dig at her husband? That clearly looked like, like their bed.
Busy lives, and the boys love it. Hair gel done and shoes on. Around 8:50 a.m., I load up the car, then clean the kitchen when nobody's in it. I grab myself a snack, a water, and a coffee. We head out the door and arrive at school only 5 minutes late. Good thing it's homeschool. The boys love their homeschool group, which we call CC, and we stay till 1 p.m. Mom, before.
What do you think? You think that's real? Joey Club in all cap. Augustus, her. Oh, I think her kids. Hold on, I'm behind on these things. Heidi seems like a good mom to me. Yeah, for sure. She's got her shit together. Allegra R, this woman has no full-time job. No, that we just saw her full-time job. That's for sure a full-time job. What's a crunchy mom again? I guess says that's a mom who just does everything like organically and is focused on like holistic health is typically the crunchy mom title. Adam Blakesley. Title of this episode, Sousa's Porn Search Engine, Crazy Moms and Heroes. That probably would have got more people to the show. Not going to lie. Grace Sousa, seems like she brings her spouse coffee. Damn. So we're not letting that one go. Shannon Cook, don't hate on the sourdough. Not hating on the sourdough, just an interesting trend. Just an interesting trend. Corey Leonard, I bring my spouse coffee. Grace, just saying. Okay, guys. All right. Let's calm down with that. It was a mistake. I didn't realize she wanted it. That's her job. Looks like she's good at it. Yeah, it does. It does. Couple weird things about that, though. She's like, I like to clean the kitchen when I'm by myself. But, like, the kids were in the car. So the kid, did she, like, load the kids in the car and then go back inside and tidy the kitchen? It's like, you need to fucking sit in the car while I clean up your mess. Seems super organized. So obviously, you know, you watch that one. Yeah, look, 617 followers. Crazy. She has this, not that I went there. Okay, here's another giveaway. You guys saw she was doing like a shitty version of CrossFit. And she was like, I do hit on the floor. No, bitch, those are push presses and burpees. You're doing a Metcon. Not very well. She should be helped with her movement a little bit. But look, husband, Ryan, remember him? Reading the personal MBA by Josh Kaufman in that last clip. He's got a rogue shirt on.
Mom, and, to four boys, this is why we work out every
content. Look at that man's face. You know what, that we'll zoom in. Look at this man's face. There's no way he wants to stand in front of that camera and say, fucking mom of four, dad of four, and we do a bunch of stuff that you guys don't do. Feel bad about your lives. He does not want to be there in this thing. That, by the way, that's a real life photo of what I looked like when I came in with only one coffee a little bit earlier. That was it. That's my face. Huh? Shay, you said you wanted something? He's just along for the ride. Yeah, poor guy. Poor Ryan. What do you guys think Ryan does? CrossFit. Ryan's got a good job, I bet. Fuck yeah, he's a lawyer. And he makes some good money. You know he does. They got four boys and they're on vacation. That's a dead giveaway. You got four kids and y'all are on vacation making content.
Every day on vacation. It's the same reason why we work out 7 days a week and rarely skip a day. Simply put, working out is a habit. A habit is defined as a regular practice, especially one that is...
See, look. Oh, I can't rewind this shit. You see that squat? terrible.
Hard to give up. When working out becomes a daily habit, your brain can't imagine going a day without it, even on vacation and even on the weekend. Our brain recognizes working out as an expected and normal part of our day, and if we don't do it, our brain starts to freak out. Just like you can automate bad habits, you can also automate the good ones that elevate your lifestyle. And when an automated good habit guarantees you'll feel amazing and have vibrant energy the rest of the day, why would you skip it even on vacation?
Boy, did you see that? Like the high five and then caught her on the way back, a little spin move. Fondle, she's defining a habit. Yeah, that's right. I mean, fuck, you had to have something in the voiceover, right? Oh my gosh. Just getting here. What family are we judging? We're judging Brooke. We're judging how good their life is and how organized and together her shit is. So that's what we're doing. We're having a little fun with it. Heidi, gosh, Susan, why are we judging people who are trying? I don't get this segment. She's just promoting good habits. Why am I judging him? Why has it got to be negative? Why has it got to be negative? Why can't we just explore and have a little fun? Fuck. Fine. We won't look at their content. Don't want any negativity. Okay, moving on. Heroes. Maybe this will change. By the way, I'm not judging it. We're just looking at it, making comments. I was judging her squat, though. If you want to say anything, I was for sure judging her movements. I was going to go on to show her Disneyland book and how she put this whole entire thing together. But then you made me feel insecure, as if we shouldn't do that. Like it was mean or something. Don't be mean. Brooke's trying so hard. I bet you Brooke and her husband are bringing in fucking $40,000 a month. Think they give a shit about my rinketing show and talking about her stuff? No, I don't think so. Okay, here we go. This dude stuck on the edge of a cliff. Imagine being stuck on a cliffside waiting to be rescued, hoping to be rescued, hoping that the people that show up to rescue you have done all their workouts, hoping that they're strong enough and capable enough to save you from this, what looks like extreme cliffside with a bunch of water around you as you cling on for dear life, hoping that they're capable of their jobs, that they're capable. Because you're jealous, I get it now. Heidi, you just want me to move on to the part of the show where I talk about your comment. Don't lie. You know it. You know it. Okay. Here we go. Look at homeboy right there. Like he is clutched onto that thing. I wonder how sore he's going to be because, you know, like adrenaline surgeon, he's like glued onto it. It's just like clenched in. I bet you his shit is just going to be sore the next day.
Hey, don't let go, man. Don't let go. Okay.
No shit. He's not. Don't let go. I wonder how many people do that though. Like right at the time that you're like being saved or something, they're like, oh, thank goodness. And like they do something crazy. Or like the people that are out in the ocean or something panicking. And then the person who comes in that tries to save them, they just start like clawing onto them. And next thing you know, you got two people fucking that need to be rescued. Jeffrey Birchfield, Susie, you sound so intense today. It is. It's because I'm kind of tired. So like whenever I wake up and I just didn't get enough sleep and I'm just like in this like tired level of the day, like for some reason I just like, maybe I'm like cranky, maybe that's it. So I judged Brooke and Ryan. Yeah, I don't know, but you're right. Definitely different.
Slide your left hand in here, brother. There you go. All right, here, right hand through. There you go.
Yeah, imagine.
Hey, grab your cross when we lift up, okay?
A little weird. Grab your cross when we lift up. Maybe it's like a harness or something like that.
I got you, brother.
Damn. Yeah, you can see like when it showed up. Right? Oh, man. What do you think that guy was as soon as he felt himself leave that cliff? Whew. The other crazy thing about those type of rescues is like, it's like, yes, you've been saved off the cliff, but now you're dangling from a helicopter, right? Like you're in the harness or you're in the little which we call a gurney or whatever. And like now you're just kind of floating off to what your hope is safety, but you're still hanging from a helicopter. So it's kind of like, yay. But at the same time, you're like, shit, get me down from here quick. That was crazy, man. And that's why it is important that if you are a first responder, firefighter, EMT, law enforcement, military, Coast Guard, whatever, if your job is to show up in a situation like that and save somebody's life, if you're not working out every day, most days, doing something to prepare your body, to prepare your mind for those type of things, like, you are doing a huge disservice. You are breaking the trust of the general public. Like, it's harder and harder for me not to be jaded like that, especially when you guys know I'm all cranky because I didn't sleep. Like, if your job is to be there at the worst times in people's lives to save them from dangerous situations, and you're not constantly preparing your mind and your body for that. And we know, you could see it. You guys know what I'm talking about. You walk in and you see that first responder, doesn't matter what part of the service they're in, and you see the one dude that you just look at him and you're like, fuck, my guy, you have not worked out in years, maybe ever. You finished the academy and that was it. You hung it up. Like that, oh man. Oh man, oh man. And you don't think that those individuals that are constantly focused on preparing their minds and their bodies for their job that aren't going to be just better capable human beings all around and better to handle situations that are maybe a little chaotic, that need to have more control brought to it, more, you know, digression of something. Like if you show up and you're not confident in your body, if you're not confident in your mind, if you're scared, like you're going to do nothing but escalate that situation. You're going to do nothing but make it worse. And I feel that exercising on the regular, preparing your body, helps prepare your mind and makes you more confident in your job. And if you're not doing it, then like I said, a big disservice. Corey Leonard with the scoop on that last clip. They were hiking and fell off a side of a cliff, and people who came to save them were terribly out of shape. I don't know if they were terribly, were they? I didn't see that. The rest of them that. Yeah. I don't even know. I saw that one clip and I just thought I would include it in the show just to make that point about that. You never know when the time is called for you to come to D. Barkley, good thing he's got that coffee. Seriously. Unless that was like another dig at the fact that I forgot to bring my wife coffee, in which case, whatever. Like our very own Caleb Beaver and his wife. I don't know. Judy, I just saw your comment, so I just figured I would read your comment. I haven't read one of your comments today. So a fatigued mind makes mistakes. Absolutely. And a fatigue will make cowards of us all. A fatigue will make cowards of us all. Sevy show with Jake, Jeff Berman was good this morning. That was a cool guy. Yeah, it was. It was. Jeffrey Birchfield, Judy, this is match show. Leave Sevon out of it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so you guys, I knew I shouldn't tell us. So my wife brings me coffee. Oh, man. Janelle, a fatigued mind makes bitches of us all. Yep, another way to serve it. Say it, that's for sure. That's for sure. No, I was telling Judy about the Pancheck, Susan. Okay, you guys got your whole thing going on over here, and I'm just jumping in and reading it. So can a CrossFit coach make 75K or more in salary doing their job just being a CrossFit coach? Straight up, the answer to that, I think majority of you guys know, is for most of them, no, that is not possible. I would probably say that the average like coaching salary from like just specifically talking about CrossFit affiliates, I would say that it's probably sitting in the neighborhood of like around $24,000 to $36,000 a year, right? And you guys know for a fact, most of you, a lot of you have kids, have jobs. Some of you guys even probably got houses and shit. And to make it on $24,000 or $36,000 for the whole entire year is impossible this day and age. I mean, you guys know I live out here close to San Francisco in the Bay Area, and it literally, that is like impossible to live off of that. Most of the rent around here is going to be more than $36,000 in the year. So if you think about that in terms of like, how in the world are you going to coach CrossFit like full time or want to make it your career? And you're looking at those averages of pay and you're like, holy shit, like $36,000 a year. Like, damn, there's no way I could live off of that, right? A couple people in the comments earlier said with personal training or with like other, you know, private training, personal training, other side kind of programs that you're doing, then it is possible to start to bump that salary up. But if you think about it in terms of $36,000 for coaching CrossFit full-time, and let's say coaching CrossFit full-time is 20 hours a week. Let's say you do on average about 4 classes a day. So it's not very much time in terms of like the typical 8-hour workday, right? Technically, you would have a second half of that. Maybe that's where that personal training and stuff comes back into play. And so I think for majority of the CrossFit affiliate owners to pay themselves even $75,000 a year, it's like, fuck, I wish. Like, I'm making 20. My coach over here is making 36. We're barely making ends meet. If I fire him, sure, I could fire him, but then I have to do all the classes by myself. And even if we do that, we double that, bolt that money over, like, you're still, you know, not even breaking six figures. Somebody else said it here. Allegra R, 100,000 is the new 50,000. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? 36,000 is not impossible in Wisconsin. Heidi, that's good. At least you can know that. Wow, Tom Landry. Wow, that's it. Figured a coach made at least double that amount. Unfortunately, dude, no. And again, I'm not like, this is just based off anecdotal evidence of people that I've talked to. This comes from the state of the industry stuff that we read from Chris Cooper, stuff like that. So if you just were to take all the aggregate of those gyms, now some gyms they're probably paying their coaches really well. You might have a handful of gyms that are paying their coaches, you know, 100K plus a year. But I would say for the most part that on the high end, they're making about 36,000. Now, when we were talking about, briefly mentioned it last show, we talked a little bit about it last night. If you guys caught some of that Dave Weekend review, but I had said that if CrossFit changed its current model to, you know, what's the value proposition for an affiliate owner? And how many more people can we get into these affiliates, right? Like, that's kind of their goal, because I think that that's low-hanging fruit in terms of like, well, we just did a price increase on the affiliate owners. They're unhappy. We need to keep them because that's our strongest line of revenue is the affiliate fees. So like, let's talk about bringing people into their gyms, because that must be what affiliate owners want. Who does it? More people into your gyms equate to more money, right? Maybe. Now, I think that whole entire premise of CrossFit thinking that way, assuming they do, I don't know this for fact, but from the stuff that we've seen come out, we could assume that that's kind of their strategy, right? That's what they've talked about or been very vocal about. And I think that that's looking in the wrong place. I think that if they really CrossFit, really, really focused on showcasing that they have and are the producers of professional trainers, that you would start to see that turn around a little bit in terms of their messaging. They shouldn't focus on affiliates. They should just focus on their education and their certs. And I think that getting more and more people that are looking to coach into the fold and then into CrossFit gyms over time would start to help everything rise up. Now you're asking like, well, how would that work in terms of pay? Because if we just produce more coaches, wouldn't there be more demand out there or less demand out there for coaching staff because everything's filled up and then therefore you could pay the people lower? And no, I don't think that that's the case. I think that if you have more education and more professionalized trainers and more people that is that's elevating above what's currently being offered, meaning like the F45s, the Orange Theories, or the personal trainers that you guys are, the personal trainers that we see at like 24-Hour Fitness and Planet Fitness and stuff like that. If we just start to cultivate all that talent and bring them into the education funnel that is CrossFit through the L1, the L2, and multiple other different branches that could be built off of that, I think as the talent pool rises, I think the affiliate member would rise on its own because of that. And then I think that would start to provide some more opportunities for coaches to get paid a higher wage. but they have to be really top-notch professional coaches, because if you have somebody who's a top-notch professional coach, they will most likely elevate the experience in the classroom, which is going to create more word of mouth of people saying, oh my God, you got to come into my gym. You know, so-and-so is the best trainer ever, and they do such a great job over there, which is then going to obviously start to rise the income of the affiliates with some more members coming in. If you also have more professionalized coaches that are just really like dialed in and know their stuff inside and out, meaning they know how to build a relationship with a client. They know how to continue to find ways to make people progress in different things in their fitness, so they keep that client for longer. I think that would be the best way to elevate the space. And over time, we would start to see more opportunities arise, and we would start to see the pay of the coaches slowly elevate. Now, most of that may not even come from the affiliates. That might come from coaches that are just able to make more of an ends meet because they find more personal training. They might be able to head a side program at their gym that they work out with their affiliate owners. Hey, if I coach this weightlifting class twice a week and I get people to sign up for it more, you know, can we work something out there, right? Sure, maybe that might be an option. For me, in my personal experience, now we're just talking like strictly about what I would need for it, is that if we had more professionalized trainers coming out of the CrossFit space, flying the CrossFit banner, I would be able to confidently position them to departments to be able to run more programs. Like we have ACES, the youth strength and conditioning program that we could bring in there, and have those coaches start to make some more revenue off of that. I also think that there'd be way more opportunity for personal training and everything else. But if we just focus on getting the L1 and making that the end-all, be-all, it's going to be really tough to continue to have really great coaches in the space. And I think that really great coaches is the seed and is the nugget there that helps everything else around it grow. Did you guys think that coach's salary was like higher or lower than the $36,000 a year? And again, that's just my like guesstimate on the average there. Jonathan Ortega, I coach for funsies. Exactly. We have a lot of coaches that just do it on the side. It's not their main gig, but they enjoy to do it. And if you do have coaches that are like that, I would say that majority of the CrossFit gyms are made up of those type of coaches. They probably have a handful of coaches that they're doing, you know, some sort of value exchange with, where you do a certain amount of hours a week in exchange for membership. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, you're basically hoping, and I fall in this camp, so I'm not bashing at all, but you're basically hoping that volunteers elevate their services and their stuff enough to make sure that your gym is running at top notch and people are like having such a great experience that they're going out and telling all their friends and their family, like, hey, you have to come in here and work out. And so that's always the hard part. Rambler, coaching as a side hustle or a passion. To me, if you're going to use the word side hustle and passion, that's kind of one and the same, because if you're like, I can't make it my main thing, then I have to do it as a side hustle where I'm making a little extra cash, or I'm just doing it because I enjoy to do it. And I think that that's one of the main problems in the CrossFit ecosystem, is that we have far, I bet you it outweighs it like 2-to-1 ratio or 3-to-1 ratio with how many coaches are doing it as a part-time for fun. They enjoy doing it, passionate about it, but they're not looking to make a career out of it at any time. And if the wind changes and their job changes and they have to do more or whatever, they're going to immediately jump out of the coaching ecosystem and follow where their income and their money is. And so I think that that should be the main goal of CrossFit, the company, is how do we curate and develop more personal more professional trainers, which in turn would hopefully start to rise the level of the affiliates all the way around, and with that bring in more people into the ecosystem. But I'm telling you, I'm really like, as I think about it more and more, and as I like process this, I'm really keen on the fact that it's got to start from a coaching level. It's got to start from a coaching level. And like I said, my biggest thing here. Oh, I think Grace just got back from her run. I wonder if she's going to come in here and throw a coffee at me. And so that's what my main gig is on, is like just focusing on the elevation of our people. Yes. Did you bring me a coffee? Do you want to come show the people? Grace is right here. I'm going to spin the camera so you guys can see. She brought me a coffee just to spite it, just so she could bring me a coffee on screen. No. Yep. There it is. Okay. Starbucks too.
Cheers.
This is Paper Street. I only drink Paper Street. Thank you. Love you too. Yeah, she did that just to spite me. And so I'm going to keep beating on the drum of that. I think that CrossFit's biggest asset is education. I think Wad Zombie said, Suze, if you're in danger, blink twice. That's the dramatic blink there. And I think that the CrossFit changing its messaging all around coaching, the professionalization of the coach, I think will in fact give them the results that they're looking for, which is going to be more people in the affiliates. And if you think about it too, like the most passionate coaches, we just have a new coach that's coming through the pipeline at CFL. And I just asked her, I was like, and I start this with all my coaches, and you guys have probably heard me talk about this if you listen to me on the show at all, but I was like, hey, what's your kind of long-term goals? What's your short-term and long-term goals in regard to coaching? And I get the typical answer from her, which is great, but this is kind of the path that everybody sees, which is like, hey, I want to start this. I want to get into coaching full-time. And then one day I hope to own my own CrossFit gym. And the interesting thing about that most people don't realize is that they're basically saying, hey, I want to build a career in coaching. And then I want to completely stop that career in coaching. And I want to learn to be an entrepreneur. I want to learn to run a business. And being a really great head coach, or being a really great coach in general, is very different than being a really great affiliate owner. Like it's two completely different things. And most of us just see it as the way to ascension inside your career. And I don't blame them, because when you hear things like coaches are barely making, 36,000 a year, you're like, well, fuck, I gotta own my own gym to make any different to make more money. And in fact, I would say this, that most of the coaches that are earning a great salary doing what they're doing will lose money becoming an affiliate owner, especially if you're not truly understanding the transition from head coach, I coach all my people, to I now run the P&L. I'm now responsible for operations of a business. Two completely different things. Not saying that that one can't be great at both. There's plenty of examples of that, but just saying, like, really have to understand that you're changing careers completely. You're changing careers completely. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity out there in terms of what's available for coaches that are really top notch. You can't just have this person that's kind of like, nah, I did the thing. I coached my couple classes, and then I'll sit down with them and we'll watch a class. And I go back to the basics. Like, show me a coach that could watch a group squat, maybe even a group that's been squatting for a little bit, and make some sort of positive change across all of them. I'm not talking about a fancy skill or a fancy Olympic weightlifting thing where there's lots of stuff for you to give there. I'm talking about the basics: overhead press, hinge, and squat. And I coach those ad nauseum to the firefighters and to all the new people and stuff that come in. And I see coaches that just gloss over that right away. And so that's what I mean by being able to really be a top-notch coach. And then look at what's happening in those squats, the hinge, or the overhead press position, and look at it and say, that's not quite right. Here's what's going on. And be able to look at it and say, you know, there's an ankle flexion problem. That's why they're not getting deep enough in their squat. They don't have the ability to drive their knees out to keep their hips open. So that's why they're not getting low enough, right? Like, so you could just look at that and you could know right away. You could spot the issue with the mobility, and you could start to get them working towards a better position. And that takes a long time to develop. It takes a long, long time to develop. So I wish there was more of a, like, way that I could solve that problem. I know I'm kind of just bringing something up and ranting about it on the internet, but that's what I got for you guys right now. I just think that if we all focus on elevating the trainer and getting these trainers paid more and appropriately, then you'll see the whole entire CrossFit space elevate. If we just focus on getting people in through the door of affiliates, that's when we start focusing on these Me Too marketing plans. We're focusing too much on being like inclusive and not rough around the edges. And I'm not talking about the DEI inclusivity, like just inclusive to like, we're for everybody. Yay, come in the door. As opposed to like, we're forging Elite Fitness. This is what we do. And so once you start to go that route, you could tell that they're doing that just to get people through the doors of affiliates, just to get people through the doors of affiliates. And I think that the whole entire strategy is flawed there. Don't focus on people getting people through the doors of the affiliates. Focus on professionalizing your trainers. Yeah. Judy Reed, good food for thought. Thank you. And I'll keep developing this. Like, you guys see this kind of stuff in real time. Like, if you watch the show that I did with Seth and I talk a little bit about like the pyramid that I used in terms of like kind of how the ecosystem of CrossFit is or how we should prioritize stuff, you'll see the development of that when I talked about it in last week's show, where I had a little bit more solid. And then as I continue to kind of like as Hiller always says, these SWAT thoughts swirl around in my head and bah, I put it out there. And that's kind of what I do here, but I do it live. So there's not a lot of post-production, and you guys see the evolution of that happening in real time. Seth Page, I wonder if some gym owners worry about making their coaches so good that they leave them to open their own affiliate. Great deal. But question. But here's the way that I see that. When I sit down and I talk to somebody who wants to be like the next affiliate owner, I say, great, how could we help? Because that's gonna be a long path there. And chances are this individual will find out really quickly, oh, okay, shit. I do just really enjoy coaching. I don't enjoy becoming a business owner. There's also other things that you could do, like in the case of what I do with the first responders, I could let them own their own department where they're still kind of under the umbrella of my gym or the company, right? So we cover their insurances, we help with all of that. I plug them with the department. It gives you a little bit of validity and credibility because you're coming from a business, not just necessarily like you as your own entity. So you could start to have some of those coaches like run those things to really decide like, hey, is this person going to excel at also running like operations and business side of stuff? Or are they just really good on the floor coaching classes? And then if they are, as long as that line of communication is open, like there's no reason why, as long as it worked out geographically, so they were far enough away to it wasn't just your direct competitor right up the street, there could be a lot of good in that. Maybe you partner with them. Maybe you mentor them. Maybe you invest a little bit into it, so it's your second location, but you're not having to run it. I think there's like a couple of different ways that you could mitigate that without it having to be kind of like the horror story of like you developed this great, awesome coach. They developed great repertoire with all your members and then they just took their shit and left, right? The other option, which is something that I always take into consideration and we would do at CFL, is give them a percentage of equity in the business that you have. So if you think they are really that A player and you want them around for the long term, get them involved with it. Give them a piece of the pie. Give them a little piece of equity and say like, hey, we could build up to this and the this portion of it and give some more responsibility to them and everything else. And again, they're allowed to, you know, be that business owner, be that entrepreneur, but still kind of stay underneath the umbrella that you've built or the platform that you built. And that might not be right for everybody because they might disagree with the way you run things or something like that. But that's a whole different conversation. This is kind of under the conversation that everything worked out really well and you're just helping them kind of fulfill their long-term goal of owning a gym one day. Augusta Souza, should I wear tighter clothes when I coach? A member asked me why I always wear baggy clothes nowadays. Just tell me pregnant. See what happens. No, whatever you feel comfortable in. Or a coach could buy a gym that just wrote a wad on the board and loosely had class times, right? Oh, shit. Yes. Yes, you are 100% correct. That's funny. That's funny. How many owners or ex-owners are in this chat? Interesting question. Interesting question. CrossFit, that was pretty funny. If you guys got the inside joke there, you've been paying attention for quite a few shows now. Quite a few shows. CrossFit Jigsaw. What's up, man? How you doing? Dude, I don't have my own call-in number. So unfortunately, like it has to forward from Sevan and he's out with the boys and doing his own thing right now. And I didn't get it in time to forward over. So sorry, no call-in. Maybe we'll get that set up next week. Cause I do love hearing your guys' input on all these things. Someone should run a gym rescue, go in and fix bad affiliates. somebody DM'd me about doing that as like a content series. Could you imagine though, like you calling gyms like, hey, we heard your gym sucks. You want some help with that? Probably not exactly be like super stoked on the fact that you're showing up at their gym because they weren't doing a great job. Yeah, like Bar Rescue. Exactly. It'd be a great show. Like we put in hidden cameras, we send a drop in into your gym, we see how they like treat them, right? And then we could start to like, okay, now we're going to go in and be like, oh my gosh, so-and-so was here for 5 minutes and no one said hi. And then when you guys brought him in, like the coach didn't even like give him the rundown or ask if they had any injuries before class or ask if there's any limitations or anything they should know about. They just put him right into Fran and they never seen him squat before, but he still tried to have him use a 95-pound bar because that's what it said for men prescribed. Just a shit show of an affiliate like that. Sousa, can you please play the thanks coach video CrossFit did a few years ago? I think, oh, the one with Wes Pyatt, where he like opens up the door and like one of the members hand him a note. Is that what you're talking about, Jake? I think that was with Wes Pyatt. That was good. That was good. Dave rolls up to your gym and 2 months later you get a PIP in the mail. I think I've told you guys this too. There was times when I was like developing coaches and would be like, hey, you know how close we are to CrossFit HQ? Like I heard Dave's going to be traveling around a few of these gyms. So like, don't be the coach that when he shows up, you're doing a shitty job. Like you just don't make it on you. Adam Blakesley, produce it, Sousa with two brain. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Mystery shopping. Judy Reed, mystery shopping. Then just put them on blast afterwards. Be like, you didn't know this, but we had a secret camera in there. All right. Last. I don't have it queued up anymore. Last topic that we're going to chat about a little bit before we end this here is going to be CrossFit programming, like affiliate programming for CrossFits that are done by other entities such as like Mayhem, such as HWPO, such as like Proven, stuff like that. Does your gym use any of those programs? And if they do use a program, do you like it or not? That's the question that I have. So like as a coach, do you like it? As a member, do you like it? Those are the two things. Holy shit, there's 26 people watching on Twitter right now. Hi, everybody on Twitter. I just realized if I put my cursor over it, it'll show me where people are coming in from. That's nuts. Hi, people of Twitter. Thanks for joining. Or X, I should say X. So if you are doing it from another entity, are you enjoying it right now? And the question that I have is, do you guys... let's see, how can I position this question? Do you think that that's harming the development of your coaches? Now, let me explain. Some of the programs that offer affiliate programming usually have like the whole thing done for you. So as a coach, I don't have to know anything. I could just walk in, look at my phone or wherever it's coming in from, and then just go down the list. Do the warm-up. Do all like check all the boxes and just boom, 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 go down the list and then go out. So the question that I have is like, is that slowing down your coach's ability to develop? Because if they're not coming in and having to write their own warmups, they're not having to think about the stimulus of the workout, stuff like that. Do you think that's slowing that down? Okay, so let's go through some of these as some of you guys put it in. Corey Leonard West is a good human. Yep. Skylar Davis, advice for opening an affiliate, starting one with my best friend, and we want all the tips. Oh, fuck, that's going to totally derail me. But yeah, I got a ton of stuff for you, Skylar. Number one, here's what I would say. Whatever state you're in, form an LLC and then make it a partnership with an operating agreement with you and your best friend, where you literally have the whole thing written out of who owns what percent. And it's not 50-50, brother. You need a 49-51. 50-50 in the case of any legal dispute is going to just make shit impossible to figure out. So decide who's 49, who's 51%, okay? Once you decide that, write out in that operating agreement how that exactly works, Okay. What you guys are going to do with profit share and distributions, assuming you're going to turn a profit, because at some point you will. And if you don't have these things kind of hammered out, are those distributions coming quarterly? Are they coming annually? Are you looking at that pre-taxed? How's that going to work? Number two, especially with the time of year that we're in right now, find yourself an accountant or a tax accountant that will help you out right from the get-go. When you start that business and you guys are buying all this equipment together, every single dollar needs to be tracked. If you take a piece of equipment from your house, estimate the cost of that piece of equipment and put it down on your ledger. So that way you have everything that the business owns or your LLC is going to own inside that balance sheet. Don't let anything come into that business like, oh, it's just his rower, so we're bringing it in. Like, that could get messy super quick. And then also in your operating agreement, have a decision on how you guys are going to dissolve the partnership. Do it now while everybody's in the honeymoon phase and like, we're off to the sunset. It's going to be great. And I hope it is for you. I hope that you don't have to exercise any of these things in the operating agreement. But if you guys sit down and think about that and really structure that out and go through those scenarios of the what ifs, that'll get you a really great foundation to start from. And it'll make everything easier, because a lot of these things people don't think about until they have to think about them. And then the first thing everybody's going to say is, fuck, I wish I thought of this at the beginning. See, I knew your comment was going to take me on a tangent there. But yeah, that's what I would say, Skylar. Maybe do a show on that next week, just about a couple things I wish I knew before opening an affiliate. I'm that coach that left and opened my own. Not on bad terms, just grew to the entrepreneur, making sure that coaches have the opportunity to make the salary they want and provide with providing personal training. I'm assuming that said, yeah, that's exact. That's what, same scenario with me. So it's going to come up. That's going to happen. In fact, that's probably how quite a few affiliates have started. But it's all about the relationship you have with the owner. Like you said right there, like, not on bad terms, just grew to the entrepreneur. Great. Need more people like you. And CrossFit Jigsaw right up the street from me is a fantastic gym. Okay, let's see. Libby, we're Mayhem as a member. I love it. Can't speak to coaches. Awesome. Adam Blakesley, we use Mayhem. We're de-affiliated. It's okay. And programming warm-up is huge for development. I agree. We have all of our coaches program their own warm-ups and everything else. Can you touch on CAP? I would say the majority of the members of my affiliate don't really like it. Okay. Judy Reed, we use CAP. We use CAP, used to use Mayhem. I'm only familiar with. Okay. I'm fairly sure coaches do their own warmups. Okay, great. Yep. That's good. That's good. CrossFit, I think it only hinders the bad coaches. Good ones half the time don't use those warmups and factors included. Yep. You're probably right. Like, if they know it and they're into it and they're passionate about it, the coach will show up and give their own spin on it or do their own thing. Janelle Winston, don't do it with your best friend, referring to the guy, Skylar, starting the gym. It's not bad to start it with a friend. Just know that, like, you guys are essentially entering into a marriage together. There's no other way to, like, the relationship that you're going to have as business owners together, the only more, you know, intimate, for lack of better words, relationship that you're going to have with another human being is for sure going to be your spouse. So just make sure you get everything squared away. So that way, hopefully you guys stay friends. Great point. Thanks, Bernard. Joey Clubin, they should still do warmups. And I think through the intent and purpose. Yep, I agree. Seems like the same one head coach programming internal to the box. Yeah, you don't want the head coach programming everything and writing everything out for you either. I think that you want a coach that understands the intent, the stimulus of the workout, and can build a great, efficient, good warm-up prior without being prompted through anything. Coaches used to program sometimes after COVID, they switched to CAP. Now I think we're doing something else, but not sure what it is. Interesting. Okay. Seth Page, I hope everyone is listening to this. Most important advice for opening a gym and business ever. Thanks, dude. I always just try to, like, you know how it is. The difference between success and failure is success is you standing on the mountaintop of failures. Failure is just you buried under them. You're going to fuck up a lot. The question is will you persevere through it or will you be buried underneath it? Slater, my gym uses Mayhem, but the owner modifies the majority to the majority of clientele, which is usually really scaled down, and they do a half-assed warm-up. I hate that aspect of my gym. Oh, bummer, dude. Bummer, dude. Augustus, I think it allows for coaches to become complacent if they're not actively trying to get better. It may help coaches get to a baseline quicker, but growth likely slows down quicker as well. Yeah, if everything's being provided for you there, like, it's hard to, like, you could be lazy about it. Like, if nothing is provided, like, you have to come up with your own whiteboard debrief, your own warm-up, everything. Like, you are now forced to think about that, whether you, you know, whether you want to or not. Libby, I love that Mayhem has the compete version and we attract some great athlete, which inspires me. That's cool. Odd, I'm liking Mayhem more and more. It's great. Obviously, you guys are doing it over there. HillerFit programming here. Yeah, obviously, like HillerFit and Centennial program. Taylor does do an affiliate one, right? Or did he stop that? Does he just do individual? Let's pretend he still does the affiliate one. I like it coming from those people because they are affiliate owners, not like they own it by name because they paid for it. But Andrew Hiller and Taylor Self worked in affiliates as affiliate owners. Like, they programmed for their own affiliates. They coach the classes that they're programming. They understand that and what that takes. And so that's kind of like the differentiator there for me. My coaches do their own warmups and sometimes the in use Mayhem's depends on the coach and how much they give a shit. Yeah, hopefully they give a lot of shits. Yeah. CrossFit just saw, just had a staff meeting about this. No longer programming warm up. Let the coaches cater to the classes, time, size, clientele that is in front of them. Yep. So we did the same thing for the while. We'd give like a warm up suggestion, like it would kind of be in the overall doc where the coaches go and get their programming for the week. Where we have it laid out there. But slowly we just took that away. And what I do for the onboard process is we actually have something at the very end where we call it a whiteboard competency test, scaling competency test, and warm-up competency test. And what we'll do is I'll write up a handful of workouts that I just pull randomly from the past that we've done at CFL, and I'll have them start taking me through. I'll say, okay, workout A, give us a whiteboard debrief, go. And then we might field some questions at them. Then I say, okay, workout C, give us a general overview of what your warm-up would do, what movements would you would include, and why. And then they break that down. And then be like, okay, workout B, let's say it's like snatch, legless rope climb, and toe to bar. Whatever, all shoulders. And then we'll like raise our hand and be like, I don't have arms. What are you going to do for me? And you watch them kind of work that out in front of you. And that really shows like the level of which they need to come into class prepared with and just continue to develop themselves as a coach. Like if they weren't able to answer all those things or do the whiteboard debrief in the way that we talk about, or be able to give us a competent warm up just by looking at some of the movements and kind of put something together within a few minutes, then, that's no good. They need a little bit more development. Taylor doesn't do affiliate. Okay. I thought he did for a while and then he did it. What is it? I said it wrong. Centennial. Matt, it's sent in L. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to screw it up regardless, right? Corey Leonard, Susie, we use Comtrain and have for years now. When Ben stepped away from coaching the elites, programming changed. We haven't done muscle-ups or handstand push-ups in class since June 2023. Oh, yeah, that's rough because sometimes they go to the more like lightening up the coaching, the skill levels or, you know, the different type of lifts that are in there to accommodate like an easier class to get through. And, It's an easy thing to fall into. It's an easy mistake to go into, but don't do that because your gym members need something to constantly strive and like elevate towards. And like Libby said in the last one, like you might have a couple people that come in that are great, that do all the skills and crush it. And then you'll have a few people that are really far away from that, but they might look at those people and go, oh, wow, that's cool. I'm inspired by this, right? Like I want to be able to work up to that level. Or now I could see the skills that they want. Like we have handstand walks in today's workout. Like how many people in my classes are going to be doing a handstand walk? Very few, but I still program it because I will scale it for them appropriately, whether it's just a really piked up high bear crawl, whether it's a wall walk or something like that. Program it, give them some of the great scales that will allow them to build up to that movement if they choose to, if that's their goal. And then, and don't just pull that option away from them altogether. Because even though it might not seem like it, you'd be surprised how many people want that, want to continue to develop their skills, want to continue to be challenged. So I won't leave us hanging on the question that, that Heidi asked. I had it pulled up here. I apologize, guys. And it looks like my boy Seth's got a show in about 4 minutes. And we're going to be wrapping up, and you guys could go over there and check that out. If you haven't watched the shows where he recaps the old like media, you definitely should. Let me find it here. 1 second. It was a good question, so I wanted to read it like as Heidi put it. This is coming from Hiller's video. If you guys saw the one where he snapped back and forth between Jada Coons and the Matt Frazier interview, that's what I'm kind of like scanning through right now. But shit, I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't know, guys, if I'm gonna find it. Damn it. Sorry. This is like that dead air time whenever it happens in the live call-in shows that Savon's on, and I swear that's like my internet froze or something happened, and I looked and it's still playing. He's just being super quiet. Is Heidi still in the show? Can she just rewrite her comment in? That would be helpful right about now. Damn, I don't think I'm going to find it. Bummer. Okay. She basically asked Matt Frazier when he was on the show live with Brian Friend and Patrick Clark. She said, by what metrics do you gauge a successful affiliate program? And I thought that that was such a great question, because if you're an affiliate owner that's making your own programming, or if you're one of these other camps, or if, like, let's say you're a gym owner and you want to outsource your programming and you're looking at different ones to choose to bring into your gym, this is just a great question for yourself to like to ask, and a great question for even somebody whose programming you might be in. Like, hey, what is the intent of this program? Okay. So I'll basically just give you the intention of like the programming that I write, kind of the North Star that I look at. And this might give you some framework around that question. Okay. So for me, the defining kind of like, what are we working towards in terms of like the skills we need to have, the capacity level we need to have, and then therefore the type of volume that we need to have to accommodate that. For me, it's always been the CrossFit Open. I look at the CrossFit Open. I look at those time domains. I look at the different skills that they put in over the years. I look at the different skills that they require. I look at some of the strength stuff. And then I say, okay, how could I best prepare my member to be great at the CrossFit Open? And then I use those same kind of parameters in terms of the type of skills they would need, the types of weight we'd be lifting, the type of intensity and capacity that they need to have to do well. And then we also use that as the standard for movement. Easy. We know that test is going to come each year. People that will end up joining the Open or doing the workouts will feel really prepared for it, because they're like, wow, this just feels like the normal programming. Maybe a little bit more volume. But for the most part, it's just the normal programming. I also think within your program, you should not be shying away at all from any Olympic lifts. Like, put snatch in there, put overhead squat in there, put clean and jerk in there, put it in there on a weekly basis, and get really fucking good at teaching it. Get your coaches really good at teaching it. Have some sort of system in the way you guys teach it if your people aren't quite up to speed there. And then same with the skills. I think if you look at like early CrossFit, for me, I love the like 2010 to 2014 stretch, like that 4 years. And maybe I'm biased because that was right at the time that I started and like studied and got super into it. But I always thought that the programming there was great. It was just classic couplets, triplets, mixed between gymnastics, monostructural and weightlifting, great balance across it all, anywhere between that 30-minute to 7-minute time frame, maybe a little bit shorter if you're doing a Fran and you're a more experienced athlete. To me, that was the bread and butter of CrossFit. So going back to the question, what makes a great affiliate programming? Are all your people progressing in their skills and in their strength? Are all your people prepared for volume and capacity-wise, for the most part, the ones that do it consistently, for the Open when it comes around? Okay. And are your members that are there for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, are they still getting PRs on their Metcons? Are they still advancing in their skills? And are they still able to lift a decent amount of weight? Maybe even still get PRs depending on their age group and consistency and stuff like that. So for me, those are like the most important like pieces of a program. And then when I take that and I look at in terms of the first responders and stuff, it doesn't fall that far away from that at all. It should relatively be the same thing. They need to have capacity. They need to be prepared for the unknown and the unknowable. They need to go long. They need to go short. They need to go heavy. They need to go light. And they need to be able to have some skill work to control their body and move it through space. And that's the general GPP that CrossFit has always put out. You don't need to follow in, this is just my opinion, for a class affiliate type program, you don't need to follow some squat cycle with percentages or whatever. That's great for people that have the time and are going to commit to that, maybe want to do a little bit more. I would provide that as kind of like an add-on. For the most part, people are only going to show up a couple days a week. You want to vary it enough so that way they squat in there, they deadlift in there, they bench press, they strict press, they do all the major lifts, and then maybe they get in some Olympic weightlifting in there too. Like for me, that's the most important part, and that's what I kind of look at in terms of a complete program. And you could tell right away, like if you're having your people record their benchmarks, do you have a community space inside your affiliate to where they could write up all their PRs, or you could like easily see like, wow, all these people are PRing. Look, we just did deadlift to a one rep max. We've been doing 5x3 the last couple of times we did it, built some volume, and now I have 30 names upon the board with all hitting PRs on your deadlift. Great. Right. And then you start to see the handstand practice skill days that we bring in and stuff like that. And then you see up on the board, first time I went upside down, first time I took two steps in my handstand, for, you know, and you start to see those progressions and you say, okay, cool, we're on to something here. And then just keeping the main thing. That's what I focus on. Like so often do people try to get really fancy with their work to rest ratios or the different way they string stuff together. And it's like for the general public, for your just average affiliate goer, you don't need any of that. Keep them advancing in their skills. Keep their capacity high. Get them underneath the heavy barbell a couple days a week. And that's it. Basic. That should be kind of the metrics for a successful REN affiliate programming. And once you start going down the rabbit hole of like I said, the progressive overloads, you're focusing too much on like competition standard at a too high of a level, meaning like you're looking at like a semifinal or even some of the game stuff. And you're like, how do I incorporate this in my programming? Like, nah, you don't need to do all that. Not for those members. You just basically need something that's going to prepare them really well for the open. That's just going to be classic CrossFit. And that allows them to keep progressing over a long period of time. That's the goal. That's the goal. Groundbreaking, I know, right? But sometimes you hear these people and it just gets like way too fucking fancy. They try to just do way too much. And all you need is just that couplet, triplet, couple times a week. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. I know the show is kind of like all over the place and I was just getting out some thoughts there, especially as I continue to kind of develop my thought process around the professionalization of the coach. I wish that had more of a punch to it, more of a solution at the end. But I'm going to keep working it, and I appreciate you guys hanging out. I will see you next Tuesday. Will I be here next? I might be traveling next Tuesday. I'm going to CrossFit Crash. I'm going to CrossFit Crash. I'll be hanging out with JR and the crew and be stepping in for Will so I could live stream to all you lovely folks. That's right, Chris, and I'll be eating sausages there. Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great day, y'all. Be good to each other out there. Bye-bye.